Colgate tooth powder keeps smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night.
Colgate tooth powder presents the Theater of Romance. Tonight's Colgate tooth powder brings you Martha Scott in the Blue Danube. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate tooth powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stars and your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation, The Blue Danube, starring Martha Scott.
Vienna, 1870. The streets were crowded with the thousands who were there to pay tribute along the route of a funeral procession. One would think it was a king who was carried in such glory and mourned with such sorrow. But it was not a king. It was a little old lady who had loved Vienna and her sons and a man who had broken her heart. Her name, Anna Strein Strauss.
So this is what it is. This is the beginning of death. To ride like this through the street you've loved, to hear the dark pain-thudding notes of final requiem. No. That's not the music I want to hear. That is not the music. Yes, that is it. That is the music. Oh, yes. That is the Vienna I loved and taught my children to love. That is Vienna, music and laughter and beauty. Oh, this is the way to go. Play it faster. Play it louder. Play it faster. Play it louder. Oh, there's the cafe where I met my Johann. I must stop for a moment. I must go in. Yes, it was here. I was young then, and I used to sit at that corner table night after night alone, just to hear Johann Strauss play his violin. Oh, my darling, you were the most famous conductor and composer in Vienna. A tall, black-haired man who could tuck a violin under your chin with a gesture that captured a thousand hearts. All Vienna was dancing to your music. All Vienna was singing your praises, and I was hopelessly, helplessly, completely in love. Oh, Johann, what a magical night.
Take my arm, Anna. Let's walk down closer to the river. I want the Danube to sing you a love song while I tell you what's in my heart. You're happy tonight, aren't you, Anna?
Happy. Oh, Johann.
You look like a little girl at her first party. Like Cinderella at the ball. You look like someone that I've been hunting for a long time. I'm very much in love with you, little Anna.
Oh, Johann.
Will you marry me, Anna? Will you marry me?
Johann, I don't know what I said that night. I don't know how I answered you. I only know I gave you my hand and my heart and never was happy again.
You know, Strauss and Anna Strein are marrying today. I wonder what will ever come of that match.
They're very much in love. They may be happy.
Happy? Why, Strauss has been in and out of love half a dozen times in the past year. You surely do not think he will stay in love this time.
Listen to the bells, my
darling.
Oh,
they're beautiful.
They're telling everyone in Vienna that you're my wife.
I love you so much. I'll try very hard to make you happy.
I am happy. And I'm very, very proud of you. You're the most beautiful girl in Austria. And you're mine.
Johann, is that why you love me?
What better reason is there for a man who worships beauty?
But, Johann, I will not always be beautiful. I will not always be young.
My foolish little darling. What kind of thoughts are those for your wedding day? Come now, kiss me. and be content that I do love you without asking why.
How many years together did we actually have? I've forgotten. I, who thought I would never forget a word or a gesture, have forgotten so much. But I do remember that even at first, I could not hold you.
Anna, would you help me pack my bags, please, darling? I'm going to play a concert in Paris. Think of it, Anna. Paris!
Am I to go with you, Johann?
No, I shall be so busy with concerts and appearances, it's best that you remain here.
Oh, I see. You were off for months at a time, following the lights and the glitter, wanting always applause and more applause. You would come home for a few pulse-pounding weeks, and then you'd be off again, leaving me always more lonely. I came to feel completely alone. You were not with me even the night our first son was born.
Here is your son, Anna. What will you call him?
I looked at that bundle resting against my breast. A black-eyed bundle with the face of an angel, and suddenly he smiled, and it was your smile, and I gave him your name. His name is Johann, I said. And the name was music to me. And there was music in that room, such as I had never heard in my life. Music that was a shadow cast before. Then you came home on a visit.
Anna, let's go out and have dinner someplace where it's gay. This house is depressing.
The baby's been feverish, Johanna. I can't leave him. Let me fix dinner here.
Anna, I don't see you very much. It seems to me that you could make some effort to please me when I do come home. Or is your baby more important than your husband?
Johann, you don't mean that.
I do mean it. Either you'll come out with me or I will go out alone. Now, which is it to be, Anna?
Evidently, you are to go out alone, Johann.
Very well.
I, who had never learned to cry, learned then. The years that followed were the slow years that stole my youth from me. You went away again and again on concert tours. Joseph and Eduard were born, sturdy little boys with your eyes and your trick of smiling, and young Johann began to write pretty little waltzes. At last, when Johann was 13, you came home, ill and close to death. He was learning to play the violin, a slender, sensitive boy with one great ambition.
Mother, is this how Father holds the violin? Is this the way he holds the bow, Mother?
Put the head a little higher, Johann.
Yes.
Now, throw your shoulders back. Hold in your tummy. Oh, gracious. That's much better.
Oh, Mother, I want so much to be like Father.
Let me hear the piece again, Johann.
Yes.
Doing with that violin? Answer me.
I am practicing to be like you, Father.
Never mind being like me. You're going to be a businessman, not a musician. Here, give me that violin.
Oh, Mother.
How can you be so cruel? The boy has great talent. He's written some beautiful music.
I will not have him wasting his time writing music. Let him spend his time on his schoolwork instead of this trash. One musician's enough in the family. I'll write the music. Johann, do you hear that? Now, you're never to touch a violin or a piano again. You have no talent. I will not tolerate such a waste of time. Now, go wash your face, boy, and go to your lessons. Well, Anna, why are you staring at me like that? You're looking as though you'd never seen me before in your life.
I don't believe I ever have.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right.
take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Young lady, remember this message from Colgate tooth powder. When the mere touch of his hand makes your heart beat madly, take it from me, that's love. But when he doesn't call, doesn't write, and doesn't tell you why, well, that's too bad. Do you think that a little breath of trouble, unpleasing breath, cooled your romance? It's happened to thousands without their knowing. If I were you, I wouldn't let that little breath of trouble get a look in. What to do? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. As for cleaning, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Colgate tooth powder brings you the second act of The Blue Danube, starring Martha Scott as Anna Strime Strauss.
I will not have him wasting his time writing music. One musician is enough in the family. I walked all night back and forth, up and down, with those words ringing in my ears. The son must not compete with the father. The king must not be challenged. Son or father, you were my heart and my love and my happiness, but he was my son and my life. His talent needed encouragement, but I needed you. Your lips, the knowledge that I'd pleased you and that you would be mine again. You were my love and my heart, but he was my son and my honor. And so I walked the watches of the night while my small son slept, and music yet unwritten filled his dreams and fell like a shadow across my heart. When morning came, I awakened my son.
Good morning, Mother. Oh, it's early, isn't it?
I held him close, loving desperately the sleepy small boy look of him. Then he got up and dressed. We went out, hand in hand, into the bright morning to find a new violin and a place for him to study. And we walked to music, he and I together. All the music he was to write. And the morning had a shining glory. Spring came again to Vienna. Once the spring had been like wine we'd drunk together, but you had forgotten that. I taught my heart not to mind. I kept my hand steady. I did not cry. I choked down the words that burned and bled inside me. And then, one day, you were well again.
Anna, I have been thinking things over, and I really don't see much point in you and I trying to stay together anymore. We have nothing in common.
We have children, Johann.
They are your children. They don't like me any more than you do. From the moment your first child was born, Anna, you started drawing away from me. Each one took a little more and left a little less. Until now, everything's gone between us.
That's not true, Johann. I have always loved you. I love you still. Oh, Johann, I pity you so.
You pity me? You pity me?
Yes, because you've never really grown up. You've never learned that a man can't remain a boy forever. That dances and flirtations in the springtime are for the young. As a man grows older, he lives in his children, and he finds his happiness in his youth and them. One morning, Johann, before you die, you will awake and discover that you have nothing.
I would prefer nothing to what I have now.
Then you are very right to leave. You and I severed by divorce, that marriage long since over. You married a young and beautiful milliner and set her up in a handsome house. I lived the days for my children, never thinking that I myself was directing my young Johann's footsteps. Johann the Younger made his debut in October when he was 19.
Have you heard? Strauss's son is leading his own orchestra in a concert. They say his father is furious. That's one concert I wouldn't miss for the world.
People came by the thousands to hear this son of a famous father. But the father did not come. Here and there in the crowd, I glimpsed the faces of his father's friends. They would be a cold audience. I began to pray. Dear God, please, please let him be good enough. And then he came out. He raised his bow and he began to play. And thus entered history. His music was winging to the stars and took with it every heart that listened. But I, with a sudden coldness, heard a little boy saying, "Someday I will be like my father." The years that followed were set to music, the most beautiful music in the world, written by my son. I was proud, but I missed him. He too belonged to the world, and then one day...
"Mrs. Strauss, have you heard? Your husband is dead. One of the children told me he died last night and his wife fled. No one will go near the body for fear of catching the scarlet fever."
Johann dead. Johann dead. Oh, no, no, that could not be true. That could not be true. I ran through the streets to your house. I went into that splendid mansion that I'd never entered. I went through the empty, shrouded rooms until I found you. And I gathered you to my heart and wept over you. And for that hour, you were mine. And only mine. And though you had refused my love, you did not refuse my grief. They came soon to honor you. There was a great procession. And all Vienna mourned you. I went home to an empty house. Tired, bereft now of dreams, bereft of all but my memories. And the house was full of music, but it mocked me. My husband had followed it, and my sons, Johann and Josef and Eduard, and I was still the outsider looking on. And suddenly I hated music. I sat there with music swirling around me, drowning me, closing me in, hammering at me. Music that laughed and lilted and caressed. The happiest music that had ever been written, but which had stripped me of all my happiness. I've forgotten now how many years later it was that Johann gave a great concert. I went, feeling ill at ease and out of place. When they came to the final number of the program, Johann stepped forward.
"Many people have told my brothers and me how much we are like our father. We accept that as a compliment and thank you. But we would like you to know about our mother, who went without food, who went without new clothes so that we could have a little more, and who gave her entire life to us. All the honor you of Vienna have paid us belongs to her, for all the music we have ever written or ever will write is hers. And now I have written a new composition that we shall play for you, and for the little mother who has always been our inspiration."
Some moments are too beautiful to be borne. I sat there listening, listening to my lifetime. And at last I was happy as I had never been, for suddenly I saw that I was not on the outside. I was a part of them and a part of their music. And I saw a meaning and a purpose. My grief and bitterness had given birth to music and immortality. And I see at last that life has been very good to me. Very good indeed. For the music of my sons will sing of the laughter and the love and the gaiety of Vienna through whatever times may come, through whatever shadows, for it is a gift from God. And that which has been the cause of all my unhappiness is finally my greatest happiness.
Young man, they say a happy marriage is one where the husband gives and the wife forgives. But do you think it fair to expect your wife to forgive unpleasing breath? Of course, you might be quite unaware that a little breath of trouble has come between you. You may not even suspect that you have unpleasing breath. I'll tell you what, don't take a chance. What to do? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. As for cleaning, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. In tonight's play, Martha Scott starred as Anna Strime Strauss with Carl Swenson as Johann Strauss. The Blue Danube was written especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was arranged and conducted by Charles Paul, and the entire production was directed by Mark Slove. Next week, one of the most moving love stories of modern times comes to you on the Theater of Romance, when we will present a special dramatic version of Alice Duer Miller's great narrative poem, The White Cliffs. Join us again next Tuesday, won't you?
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair, so halo, everybody, halo.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair, for Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance, how the deep natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So halo, everybody, halo. Halo shampoo, halo.
Until next Tuesday night, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance brings you Alice Duer Miller's immortal love story, The White Cliffs, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
Ladies and gentlemen, war is the costliest undertaking in human history. And to wind up this costliest of all wars, our government needs a colossal sum of money. But this year, there will be only 2 war loans instead of 3. However, because of the terrific goal which has been set, we will have to lend Uncle Sam as much in these 2 loans as we lent last year in 3. So we must all buy a bigger share of extra bonds than we ever bought before. 27 million American men and women enrolled in the payroll savings plan are now boosting their bond purchases for April, May, and June. When the 7th war loan drive opens officially, these smart buyers will have a head start. Part of their extra bonds will already be paid for. How about you, Mr. and Mrs. America? How about you starting to buy those extra bonds now? Remember, your war bonds are the safest, soundest investment on earth. They are Uncle Sam's IOU to return you at maturity. $4 for every 3 you invest. Let's start buying now for the 7th war loan. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.